USDA and EPA recently announced the United States' first national food waste reduction goal, which aims to cut food waste by 50% in the next 15 years. The agriculture industry, food retailers, faith leaders, and charities have all welcomed this announcement and see it as a positive step to reduce hunger, safeguard the environment, and support the economy. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September 25th. We will talk with a guest about this initiative and its likely impacts, and we will welcome your questions and your views, too. Do you see a food waste problem in your community? How about your own kitchen? What steps do you take to reduce food waste? Let us know. Our guest is Jeremy Kranovitz, Executive Director of Sustainable America. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
How much food is wasted in this country each year?
Well, it's a stunning amount, actually. The best estimates that we have are that about 40% of all the food that is grown goes uneaten. And that starts at our farms, where food doesn't make it to market for a variety of reasons. It goes through all of the shipping to bring it to market. There's food waste that happens in our restaurants when we have portions that we don't finish. And a huge portion, about 25% of the food that gets wasted, happens in our homes. But it's about 40% from farm to fork.
Yeah. And why is that a problem?
Well, it's an incredible problem for a variety of different reasons. One is, just starting at the farm, there is a tremendous amount of produce that farmers are unable to sell. And that can be for something as simple as cosmetic reasons. If the food that they're growing doesn't meet the standards that they think they will be able to sell it for on the market. It's also a tremendous problem because one in six people in this country go hungry. And so we have a tremendous amount of food that is getting wasted while there are hungry among us. And you can take it all the way from the point where we put it into the trash can or down the kitchen sink, because a huge amount of our food waste goes straight to the landfill. And once it's there, it rots and creates methane, which is a very potent greenhouse gas. So the problems are at all different stages along the value chain.
Things you don't think about sometimes. So what is driving all of this food waste?
Well, there are lots of different drivers. And I can walk through again. I think it's useful to walk all along the food chain to help your listeners think about it as they go into the grocery store and get those beautiful strawberries in the middle of winter time. You know, they did not grow in Wisconsin. They were grown in California or in Mexico. They were picked early. The farmer might not have known how much demand there would be when the strawberries were ripe, and so may have overplanted just to be sure. Or he may not have been able to predict what the weather would be, so there may have been drought or other conditions that affected the crop. As those strawberries were processed in the plant, you know, some of them got damaged and a few more got damaged as they bumped along the highway as they were driven by truck to Wisconsin. The grocer would then stack those strawberries nice and high. You go in, you see lots and lots of juicy red strawberries. They look delicious, but the ones at the bottom of the pile might never get sold. Right. And then we bring them home, and despite our best intentions, some of them turn into a science experiment in our refrigerators,
yes.
and we lose some. And so it's not hard to imagine how there's just a little bit here and a little bit there, but as you add all that up, it's almost half that does not get eaten.
Yeah. Can you outline this new food reduction goal for us? What I mean, you applaud this?
Absolutely, absolutely. Sustainable America is an environmental nonprofit that was proud to partner with the USDA and the EPA on this announcement, and we were part of that. You know, we were there in New York when Secretary Vilsack made that that great announcement. We think it's really important because for the first time, it really lays down a marker of saying what the goals should be. We didn't have anything other than sort of a vague sense that food waste was bad and we should feel moderately guilty about it and maybe try not to do so much. But I think with this official marker down, it is not a, you know, there's no regulatory police that are going to come in to our kitchens and tell us and wag a finger or issue fines or anything like that. But rather, it helps inform a lot of different work among different government agencies to all work towards this goal. So, you know, USDA, for example, does a lot of education with things like My Plate and trying to make people more aware of, you know, that they should be eating different types of foods, you know, grains and dairy and protein and so forth. But they can also start to now be more explicit about the messaging on trying to shop better, trying to prepare our food more carefully so there's less waste, making the right size portions that we all can finish, et cetera. And so I think it really, for the first time, sets up those important guideposts that that can help us all, you know, understand why it's an important issue, and then all of us can play a role in trying to make people more aware and trying to solve the problem.
So talk a little bit more about what will be needed for this to succeed. Is it just going to be individual shopping better and preparing better, or is there more to it than that?
Well, I think there are opportunities everywhere, actually, Joy. There are there's a great company that is brand new, but it's a company in California called Imperfect Produce. And they are going out to farms and paying farmers for their ugly fruits and vegetables.
Good.
So coming back to the whole idea of, you know, the beautiful strawberries in the grocery store for a second, when we see those are the winners. Those have made it all the way through to the finish line, and we aren't seeing the ones that that were culled along the way. And some of them were never made it to market because they were lumpy or because, you know, they had they were discolored in some way. Cucumbers, for example, love to start to grow out of the ground and then sometimes will get submerged back under the ground, and that part of the cucumber won't see enough sunlight and might have a white spot on it because it just doesn't have the chlorophyll. Well, it's still just as delicious and nutritious. It just is a little bit off color. You'd never see that cucumber come to market. You know, so companies like Imperfect are finding those oddly shaped or slightly discolored produce, buying it at a discount, but at least the farmer gets some income from it, and then finding channels to sell that to people that understand that it's still nutritious and delicious and just, you know, not as cosmetically pretty as what we might see in the grocery store.
Yeah. What happens in the grocery store to that that carton of strawberries at the bottom of the pile, maybe before it turns into the science experiment? I mean, can grocery stores be donating to everything to food pantries, for example?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think most grocery stores do a fantastic job of donating surplus to food banks and to shelters. And it's not something that people are that aware of, but grocery stores should be commended for doing that, and, you know, to doing more of it. So there are quite a number of stores that do that as a practice. So that is really, when we talk about food that you and I don't buy when we go into the grocery store, the next best thing we can do with it is to donate it to those in need. Interestingly, the EPA has a hierarchy that they have developed that really has broad consensus. Everyone agrees that we should donate food that isn't going to be sold. But if we can't donate it, we should use it for animal feed, whether that's to feed pigs on the farm or other pets.
Let me hold you there as we have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up next. But then we'll continue talking about this new national food waste reduction goal, why it's needed, and how it can happen. Welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. How do you try to reduce food waste? Do you, despite your best intentions, end up throwing out food from time to time? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the problem of food waste in the U.S. and how we can reduce food waste. The USDA and EPA recently announced the first national food waste reduction goal. It aims to cut food waste by 50% in the next 15 years. We are talking with our guest about how we might do that and why it's important we do that, and welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jeremy Kranovitz, Executive Director of Sustainable America. And, Jeremy, you wanted to recommend that there is a website that has tips for reducing waste called I Value Food?
Yes, that's right, Joy. It's ivaluefood.com. It's a website that my organization, Sustainable America, developed, and it is designed to be a very consumer-friendly site. There are lots and lots of images and infographics and great tools and tips to help people take some ownership of this issue. It's really important for people to understand that this is actually also an economic issue, that, you know, when you think about how much food gets wasted, it is $165 billion a year, which is about $1,500 per household. So I know we all could do with an extra $1,500, and another way of thinking about it is thinking about leaving the grocery store potentially with four bags of groceries under your arm and dropping one in the parking lot and just shrugging your shoulders and leaving it there.
Oh,
you know, we wouldn't do that, but in essence, that's what we all are doing in our homes. And so, the I Value Food website offers things like storage tips. So, for example, listeners may not know that they should not store their potatoes and their onions next to each other because the two start to accelerate decomposition when they are side by side.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Okay, so we've learned something today. and, you know, there are other tips about where to store things better in your refrigerator. But also, this may not be truly shocking, but we often do better if we go to the grocery store with a shopping list and stick to it. We also can do better, you know, sometimes we go to those club stores and we'll buy, say, a giant sack of potatoes.
Which we thinking, don't need.
Right, well, that's right. It seems like it's a great deal, but the truth is that we don't eat the whole sack, and so, you know, half of it goes bad, and it actually turns out not to be such a good deal if you think about the price you've paid per potato you actually eat. And so, you know, getting some of those thoughts and just becoming more aware is a huge part of what can make a difference and help us all not only reduce waste but save money.
We have put the I Value Food website up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page as well, so people can take a look at it there as we're talking. Mary on Facebook says, meal planning helps a little. buying groceries specific to meals that you plan to prepare and eating the leftovers, freezing the leftovers. Composting at home and having a community compost program is also something she thinks is important. So what do you think of Mary's plan?
Oh, I think that's an incredible question and comment. You know, I want to really focus in on her comment about composting. Mm-hmm. We did some work recently with NASCAR, and I know most people automatically associate NASCAR and sustainability together at the
right.
same time.
Yes, first thing that comes to mind.
But in fact, we went to Sustainable America, recently came back from a NASCAR race, where we were able to divert over 6 tons of food that normally would have gone into the landfill and instead sent it to be turned to compost. And what's great is that that compost will ultimately be brought back and be used as bedding to create community gardens and support community orchards. So that's something that's done at scale, but the truth is that nationally, only about 2% of our food waste gets composted. And it's a really easy thing that we all can do. In my kitchen, I have a small compost pail that is under my sink, and that takes all of my fruit and vegetable scraps. And when it gets full, I've got a bin in my backyard and can put the scraps in there along with some, you know, dry leaves and other things, give it a little spin, and I have not had to empty it because it just the food cooks down, you know, so to speak, and becomes much smaller in volume. And then I've got this great substance that I can use in my garden to help my vegetables and flowers grow. And this is something that we all could do. And for those of us that have to pay for our garbage to be hauled away, either by city taxes or, you know, paying an individual hauler to haul it away, this is another place where we could actually save money and improve the soil by reducing our hauling costs, because all of that, you know, vegetable waste and fruit waste and so forth is heavy and wet. And so, you know, that's stuff that we can just safely compost right in our own backyards.
We are talking about ways that we can reduce food waste in the United States and right in our own kitchens with Jeremy Kranovitz, who is Executive Director of Sustainable America. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a solution. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kim in Eagle River is with us. Hi, Kim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I first got this information actually from John Oliver from Last Week Tonight, and I wanted to ask about the tax credits for small businesses and grocery stores that donate, because the way I understand it, it's just they can't afford to do it because the tax credits are not permanent, and so they just never know at the end of the day if they're going to get reimbursed. So I was wondering if there's any movement on changing that. And I appreciate it. I'll take the answer off the air.
So, Jeremy?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are two pieces. One piece that was not part of that question but is important to answer is that there is federal law called the Bill Emerson Good Samaritan Act. And if food is donated to a nonprofit with good intent, the donor is free from liability. So some restaurants and grocery stores may worry that they would be sued if they donated food that was potentially, you know, that maybe got someone sick mm-hmm. afterwards. And if they donated the food with good intent, they are free from liability. So that is a really important thing for people to understand. Regarding the tax question, there is in the tax code, you can get a credit for donating food, and there are two ways to calculate what that tax credit might be. The simple way is basically twice what it costs you to purchase it. So if the various ingredients cost you $1 and you're selling it for $8, you know, you can claim a $2 tax credit because it is it's twice what the costs of that those goods are.
Is that tax credit not permanent, and stores are worried about this?
My understanding is that that tax credit is in place. I think what John Oliver was referring to, and that was a fantastic piece, by the way. He spent something like 18 or 20 minutes of his TV show talking about food waste the other day, which was great. I think it is less clear what those opportunities are for farmers, and that is something that that I definitely think should be fixed. That farmers who are donating surplus are unsure of those credits of that they might get, but I do think that the credits for restaurants, for example, and grocery stores is secure. I would have to double check that, but I'm fairly sure that's right.
Let's go to Bonnie in Mount Horeb next. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm a case manager at a senior center, and a grocery store does donate their food like 3 times a week to us. And it's just a wonderful help to our seniors that are either on low income or really watching their budgets as they retire. We have probably about 35 to 40 people come in just about Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays to pick up food as milk, peanut butter, fresh eggs, vegetables and fruit and bread. And it just helps their budget immensely to,
What a great program.
And they're feeding grandchildren, too, because some of these people help out their own families and their grandchildren. So it's just a wonderful program to have. And we also have people that grow gardens in our community, and they bring in their fresh produce from their gardens. So it's just a wonderful opportunity to give back to one another.
So the senior centers are benefiting from the donations, Jeremy.
Yes, and there was another great point that was raised there, which is that there are lots of opportunities for small farms or even gardens at schools and senior centers and so forth to either use that produce at the place where it's grown or to donate it. There are websites out there that help connect people who want to donate that type of food. But there's another idea is this idea of the sharing economy that we can have with food. And actually another website that Sustainable America put together is called Shared Earth, which allows people that don't have access to land to grow food, and then, you know, people who want to grow can grow, and they can split the produce. But the interesting piece of that is that there are a lot of companies, big corporations, that have these giant campuses that are filled with grass. And you could turn some of that into a corporate garden, have the employees get their community service and volunteering efforts out by tending that garden, and then donating the produce to a local shelter or to a senior center. And imagine how great that would be for the community as a whole.
Oh, that would be great. You know, it reminded me, though, too, that I, for the first time ever, bought a share in a community-supported agriculture farm. Mm-hmm. And it's just my husband and I, so we did an every other week share. So I'm getting a box of produce every other week, so 2 weeks. And I still can't finish that food. I try, and we make things, and I'm making more vegetable things than I ever have. I brought in fact, today to work for my coworkers about a dozen sweet red bell peppers. Apparently it was a good year for for red bell peppers. I am donating it to my coworkers, and I could find a, you know, somewhere else to donate it, but maybe I also don't need to buy one of these if I can't keep up.
Yeah, well, that's a great point, and you know, with CSAs, that can be an issue. The other issue that can be a little troublesome for some is that a CSA gives you what's growing at that particular time of year, and you may say, gosh, I just can't deal with another head of broccoli or,
right.
you know, or what have you. But, you know, there are ways to plan around it. And so, again, we can share with our neighbors, you know, maybe you can talk to a coworker who might want to split the box with you, for example. That might be a way of both of you enjoying the fresh local produce and not letting it go to waste.
Yeah, and that's that is a good idea, and I could also probably be better in terms of different ways to store it and or preserve it. I mean, I'm not very good at that, so I'm sure there are ways that I can freeze a lot of this stuff too.
Absolutely,
And that might be at your website that you shared earlier.
Yes, indeed, there are lots of ideas about things that do better sitting on your counter and things that do better sitting in your freezer And actually, a friend of mine, Dana Gunders, who's with the Natural Resources Defense Council, has a cookbook that is coming out soon that really looks at issues of how do you minimize food waste. And it's, I know, something that will be coming out in the near future, and something to look for.
Good. We will look for it, and we'll do a show on that as well. Let's go to Matt in Kenosha next. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've heard of, actually, I work for a company who makes food waste disposers, and for using it as a, in your sink. That grinds the food up and goes into the sewage system, where then it can be recollected by the water treatment plants and used for anaerobic digestion. They can do it on a commercial scale as well with, like, grocery stores. So the food that maybe has turned spoiled can be ground up, and then it went after the anaerobic digestion, where it creates power from the methane off the food as it's decomposing. When it's done, then they can sell that the compost that's left after it's been treated.
I think I get it. And because we have a newscast coming up, Matt, I'm jumping in, so Jeremy can respond to that. So some of the food waste can be converted into needed energy, Jeremy?
Yes, absolutely. And there's a great story to tell about this, but I'm happy to get into it after the break, if that's...
Okay, sure. We can certainly do that. We have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up next, and then we will take more of your calls, your questions, your stories for Jeremy Kranovitz, who is Executive Director of Sustainable America. Jeremy is talking with us about the USDA and EPA's first ever national food waste reduction goal, which was just announced a week or so ago. It aims to cut food waste by 50% in the next 15 years. We're talking about the problem of food waste in this country and what it might take for us to reach this food waste reduction goal. Why is this needed, and how can we do it? How are you trying to reduce your own food waste? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. Coming up after 8 o'clock, stay tuned for the Week in Review. We'll talk with two political commentators about this week's top news stories. It's the Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. How can we or should we aim to cut food waste in half in the United States in the next 15 years? That's the first national food waste reduction goal announced recently by the USDA and the EPA. Our guest this hour applauds this effort to reduce the amount of food waste in the U.S., says that it's a positive step to reduce hunger, safeguard the environment, and support the economy. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Jeremy Kronovitz is Executive Director of Sustainable America. And just before news time, we heard from a caller who said that he worked for a company that was involved with making energy from wasted food. Jeremy, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I'm glad it came in. One of the reasons why the EPA was interested in this partnership with the USDA about food waste is because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, most of the food waste that happens in our households goes right to the landfill, and once there, starts to rot and decompose, and it does so in what's called an anaerobic condition, which means that it just lacks oxygen and creates methane, which is a very potent gas, greenhouse gas. And there are ways of capturing that gas, which is essentially the same as the natural gas that we would burn for electricity or use for cooking and heating and other things. So if we can capture that gas and use it, that's a great thing that we can do. And so at a household scale, for those that have in-sink disposers, and I know InSinkErator is a Wisconsin-based company, and they're a big one. If the local wastewater treatment plant in your city or town has that ability to capture the gas and use it for electricity, then that is a fantastic option to put it down your sink. So it's hard to think about it that way, but there are folks that are capturing that gas and using it for electricity. But there's a great story which I wanted to share quickly, which is that also in Milwaukee, the Potawatomi tribe put in a giant grinder in the basement underneath their casino in Milwaukee.
Cool.
And so think about how much food waste happens at a casino buffet, right? This is a big source of food waste in the hotel and commercial kitchen industries, you might imagine. But all of that food waste goes down this grinder and is made into a pulp, and it is ultimately brought over to this anaerobic digestion facility, which is basically like a giant cow's stomach on steroids. Is the best way to think about it, because it uses a lot of bacteria, in fact, the same type of bacteria that are often found in cow's stomachs. And these bacteria just go to town. It's their buffet. They love to eat all of the food scraps. They especially love bone marrow. But as they consume all of these food scraps, they create a lot of methane. And that methane can be used and is indeed captured and creates about 2 megawatts of essentially renewable power that, in the case of the tribe, goes back to power the slot machines.
Well, so, there we go.
but I think, something like that is a really interesting idea. And then the second piece of this is that that the caller alluded to is that there is some solid material that's left over after the gas is removed, but that's also very high in nutrients and can be applied to the soil. And so, again, the tribe in this case is donating that to a local urban farm called Growing Power, which is growing lots and lots of food indoors and, in this urban environment for consumption by those in shelters and the Milwaukee public school system and elsewhere. So yeah. It really is this sort of virtuous cycle of taking something that was a waste and doing lots of good with it.
A win-win. Dale on Facebook also, though, noticed that there is a tremendous amount of waste at buffets. He says, have you ever noticed what happens at an all-you-can-eat buffet? Now, you just mentioned the Potawatomi have this, but what, you know, if is that another example of food waste, and is there something that we can do to discourage waste at buffets?
Yes, well, you know, there are two pieces to the buffet issue, and it is a big one. One is that the idea of an all-you-can-eat buffet is that, you know, there are going to be a lot of steam trays, and you want to see them full. You don't want to see them empty or picked over. And so there's this desire to have them looking full and topped off all the time. Well, that's great, but if the chafing dish is very deep, then a lot of food is created and served and then goes to waste. Mm-hmm. And so one option for those that are running these types of operations is to really get an understanding of what foods are being consumed and how quickly, so that they don't over-prepare and that they're serving them in the right size containers. For those of us that are consuming at buffets, the trick often is that, you know, the thing that we often do is we overfill our plates and then you know, leave a lot of it uneaten and just go back for the next round. And we ought to think about exactly how much we can eat. Just because you can put more on your plate doesn't mean necessarily that you should. So those are other little tips. I mean, great to try lots of different things, but we don't need to have, you know, full portions of each thing if we're only going to have a bite of everything.
Yeah, let's go to Karen in Madison. Hi, Karen. Karen, are you there? All right. Sorry, Karen. Karen's not there. Karen was saying that she's a CSA shareholder, and instead of getting a twice-monthly box, she instead converted to a punch card where she can, I guess, use it at the farmer's market or something, and then get what she wants and only what she wants and not waste. So thank you for that tip, Karen. Justin in Madison is with us. Hi, Justin.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Joy.
Yes, what is your question or comment?
Yeah, so I work for a nonprofit organization called Waste Cap Resource Solutions, and we hold annual food waste forums here in Wisconsin to address the food waste diversion awareness and provide management type of opportunities for corporate companies and also individuals as well. And Jeremy actually came out to 2 years ago, we had a food forum that was held at the Potawatomi Digester, and it was great to meet Jeremy, and it's great to see all of the great awareness you're bringing to America with food waste diversion. And
thank you.
Just wanted to highlight on that. I'm great that you brought up the Bill Emerson Act. I think that was really, really important for all the grocery stores out there, because they shouldn't be afraid to donate. I think that's the number one step is, before we can actually, you know, compost or digest food, we should make sure that we can give that to somebody else that could use the food.
Thank you, Justin. What's the name of your company?
Yeah, it's called Waste Cap Resource Solutions. You can visit us at www.wastecap.org.
Thank you very much. Any further comment on that, Jeremy?
No, there are lots of organizations that are working in different cities around the country. There are a few of us that are working nationally on these issues. But, you know, I would want to come back and just give another image for your listeners out there on the size of the problem. I am a Washington, D.C. native, and so I suffered through the football game last night. But, you know, to put it in football terms, there's enough food waste to fill Camp Randall and to fill Lambeau Field each every day with the amount of food that we are throwing out as a country. So imagine, instead of tens of thousands of fans that are screaming for the home team, all those seats all the way up to the rafters was filled with food that was discarded. It's an amazing image to consider. And I think we all can play an important part in solving the issue.
Yeah, we have Jimmy and Freedom with us. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We're a little bit short on time, so what is your question or comment?
Okay, real quick. We're a small family. It's just my wife and my kid, and we find ourselves throwing away a lot of food because with food being the more you buy, the cheaper it is, we just don't need that much of it. So I'm just wondering if you have any tips for, you know, a small family trying to not waste as much food, but, you know, also eat healthy as well.
Yeah, and being on a budget. Jeremy?
Yes, so that it's a great question, and it comes back to a comment I made earlier about, you know, sometimes the problems of going to a club store and seeing that it looks like a really great deal if I buy a huge sack of potatoes, but then bring it home and realizing that I can only eat three of them. You know, I think there is an opportunity to count what gets thrown away each time. And so if every week you find yourself throwing out, you know, buying a gallon of milk and throwing out half of it, then potentially you should just go out and buy a half gallon of milk. And, you know, while the per ounce cost might be a little bit higher, it actually, I'm sure you would save money if you started to monitor, you know, the actual portions that you can safely consume.
In our final minute, Jeremy, can you give us one thing we can do today to help reduce food waste?
One thing that we can do today. Well, I think my last note that I would like to pass on is, again, we've mentioned it and I'm proud of it. It's our website, ivaluefood.com, which has lots and lots of information about ways we can store food better, shop smarter, and find all kinds of ways to be more aware of how we consume and how we can all take a part in reducing the amount of food waste that's created.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Jeremy Kronowitz is Executive Director of Sustainable America, and we have put I Value Food, the website, on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you'd like to check it out there. Thanks to Marika Suval, to Bill Martins, to Elizabeth Delaquest, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.